BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know, are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Wire Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rocket.
Hi, Mom.
Lindy Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
And Mace.
And if anyone disagrees with me, I'll open a can of the ass with pump a mud pie, eat some low-fat frozen yogurt, and that's the bottom line.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote...
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
James, I've got two words for you.
iBlack.com and our new proud folks partnership at PWMedia.com. I am Sorokin, joined as always by Mace.
Sorry, I was just talking with another Aussie in the chat room. Yay! Australia represent, bitches!
Damn right. Joining us as well as always, the one, the only, the lovely Lindsay Ward.
I am so happy right now. It's just not even funny. I couldn't tell you what happened in the main event. Anyway.
Yeah, go change your panties, Lindsay.
Already did that.
Okay.
That's why she said be right back. And
yeah.
And joining us for a rare treat on this big, huge night that was 3 hours of Monday Night Raw, the one, the only... the original voice of Wild Talk Radio. I could use his other nickname, but he will kill me if I do. Tim Stein.
I'm really glad that I have absolutely no clue what you're talking about, the other nickname. I'm the original voice of wrestling.
You are the original voice of wrestling.
Yes, I am the voice of wrestling right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The creator of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Or immediately following every single TNA and WWE pay-per-view.
This is correct, and if you're listening to us on PWMania.com, feel free to tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, or come over to WildTalkRadio.com, click the live button, join us in our interactive chat room, because we'll take your questions, comments, whatever you want about this edition of Monday Night Raw. And if you want to chime in live, please pick up the phone, 267-297-1397.
Oh, I don't want to pay the long-distance charges, Rock. What am I going to do?
You can also add us on Skype. Just add Sir Rockin' on Skype, and you can Skype into the show as well.
So that's all that matters.
So did we get all the professional plugs out of the way now?
Most of them. All the ones that count. Did you mention iBlack.com? Yes, you did.
I did. We'd like to thank iBlock.com, and we'd like to thank the folks at PWMania.com for partnering up with us to help expand the network, as it is.
Oh, wait a second. Yeah, speaking about Aussies representing Mace, I got to say hello to Les in the chat room. I got to make sure I pronounce his name properly. when I did DJ nights last week, I called him Les. And as they say, Les is more.
And he already starts with the terrible jokes.
Yeah,
this is what you're in for, PW Mania people.
Yeah.
You won't have to hear them too often, don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, you, because he shows up once every...
Yeah, I'm like a high school drop-in. I kind of show up whenever I feel like it.
So, yeah, we should start by saying we'd like to thank PW Mania and Andy Stevens over there. He partnered up with us and helped us grow and stuff. And, yeah, we're just going to leave it at that. More to come on that. But where to begin? Let's start with the Raw pre-show tonight. Wait. Where was the Raw pre-show?
What Raw pre-show?
Right, the thing they said they were going to do but didn't do...
Mercifully, it was canceled.
Thankfully, it was canceled.
Thankfully, it gave me an extra half an hour of sleep.
Yeah, Mace barely woke up for the show.
I woke up in time to be 5 minutes late for the show.
That's being quite fashionable of you, Mace.
Yeah, and...
Well, that's because I went delirious last night, staying up till 2 a.m. to buy some toys.
Did you get them?
Oh, God.
I did. I was successful in my quest.
He was delirious, by the way.
Yeah, could you just clarify what toys you bought, Mace? Like...
I went to a website that doesn't sponsor us, so I'm not going to give you the website address, and bought a couple of exclusives that were released at San Diego Comic-Con not too long ago that they finally put up on the website for those that didn't get to go to the event.
Ah.
Yeah, I did know Mega and bought shiny plastic.
You're becoming a plastic addict, I tell you.
I can't become one of those. He has the trademark on that.
Yeah, he does. You can follow Omega on YouTube, TJ Omega. Just look him up, and tjomega.org. But yeah, you missed the first 5 minutes of Raw, and Lindsay, that was a hell of a video package to open up Raw.
It really was. They got the nostalgia going big time with that opening video package. And then on top of it, DX coming out. Holy crap.
Before DX, we had Vince. And
We had Vince.
It can't be Raw. Can't be Raw without Vince McMahon and him saying, "Welcome to Monday Night Raw." I thought that was kind of awesome. But yeah, DX came out. DX came out, and, well, Sean was... Sean was adorable. They came out in their camo, and Sean was like, "Something's missing." And then, you know, they checked if they were wearing their underwear. Sean said they were. Then they thought, more people should be in this. And then out came Road Dogg, Billy Gunn, and X-Pac.
How many people missed China?
Jeep.
And the Jeep.
Nobody
with
missed
the
China.
Jeep.
We were more excited to see the Jeep than we would be to see China.
Oh, the Jeep was the star of that entrance. Are you kidding?
I think everybody all went, "Oh my God, it's the Jeep! Oh wait, look, it's the rest of DX!"
It's the bad bleep driving.
The bad bleep. That was good, by
God. That was awesome.
It really was. So Road Dogg do his introduction. You had Hunter do his introduction. They took shots at one another. Triple H said he's the only one still with a full head of hair. I thought that was gold.
That was good. That was good. Especially looking at Billy Gunn just before he said it and just after he said it.
And then, you know, Hunter got through his routine, and then, it's time for that last part. You know, the two words part. And you had Shawn Michaels and Billy Gunn fighting over who was doing it. Billy Gunn said it was his, Sean said it was his, and yeah, hilarity ensued.
You should do it together.
Right.
Hunter, on three.
Yeah, Hunter pulled Billy Gunn
on three, or one, two, three, then go. It sounds like Omega and I trying to work out how to kill a witch in Left 4 Dead 2. We have that same conversation every time. Is it 1, 2, 3, then go? Or is it 1, 2, 3, and we go on 3?
Hunter brought up that he pulled Billy Gunn aside and said, you should let Sean do it, because if he not, he will lose his smile if he doesn't get his way.
And he goes and does stupid things like pose a playgirl.
Exactly, and, you know, Sean said he needed the money.
That was gold. Just the playgirl reference was gold.
And then we had an interruption by one Damian Sandow. He came out and, you know, he said it was very rude to exclude him from all these festivities. And, well, DX huddled up, and, well...
It was more along the lines of... He is quite facetious that the crowd on hand seems to like this band of rapscallions that seem to accost people as random. I might be a man of small words, but I shall be a martyr, because all of you can beat the shit out of me. I'm just paraphrasing there. I'm sorry, I don't have a vocabulary of 18,000 letter long words like Sandair does.
Sean was playing him up and wanted to hear him out to, you know, be educated and stuff. So then they huddled up. They kept moving around. And then they broke. And then Hunter was about to say something. Then bam! Sweet chin music. Followed by a pedigree. Which then led to Billy Gunn saying, if you're not down with that, they have two words for you. No one?
And?
No one? Alright. Anyway, what do you think of that opening segment, man? The entire thing.
Well, what I saw of it, I missed the nostalgia package at the start, so if anybody finds that on YouTube while we've got the show on, please send an email to themacing@gmail.com with the link so I can check it out, because I really want to see this intro now. But what I saw at DX was absolutely hilarious. A great way to start off Raw, got everybody excited, got everybody happy. That seemed to be the main theme of tonight, was happy. Not really excited, but it was happiness. We were all smiling and jubilant.
It was festive.
Like Christmas.
Like Christmas. What do you think, Lindsay?
We got lots of presents tonight.
We did. I thought the whole thing was gold, even if it was extremely ironic that the anti-establishment group got introduced by the establishment. I found that really ironically funny, but other than that, the whole segment was gold. I was a little sad it came at the expense of Damian Sandow, but you know what? Just to see all of DX out there, minus China, of course, but just to see them out there all together... Doing the introductions, doing the gimmick. I mean, just to hear Road Dogg's introduction again, holy crap, dude. I'm not going to lie. They had me full on marking out in this segment. And it felt great.
Tim, were you saddened by the lack of China?
Oh, hashtag happiness.
Wow, you pulling out hashtags? Wow.
I did. I actually did a hashtag. Yeah, I'm getting hip just like you kids.
Oh, my God. First Vince McMahon, now Tim Stein. What the hell is the world coming to?
What the hell? Okay, that was a fail.
I was going to say fuck, but I decided on hell. Anyway.
Well, don't say fuck.
No, I'm going to say fuck.
Yeah, a virgin should never use that word.
Up next. Well, before you get to your... I was drinking water, Tim. Before we go on, what do you think of the segment?
Oh, it was great. It was a bit of a blast from the past, naturally. And, the crowd was already hot to begin with, right out of the gate with Vince coming out. But they just cranked it up another notch. They brought it up another level and sustained it. And it was highly enjoyable. Damian Sandow thing, you know, meh, whatever, you know. But... I guess they had to do something along that line with somebody, and he was the sacrificial lamb for DX.
He was. This then brought out good old JR and his goatee.
One match only.
Seriously, really? Just one match only from Jim Ross.
That was the first fail of the night. I'm sorry, they should have left him out there.
But he was out there to call a six-man tag team extravaganza, Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara, and Sheamus versus Chris Jericho, Dolph Ziggler, and Alberto Del Rio. The finish saw Ziggler hit Jericho, costing his team the victory and allowing Sheamus hit the bro kick for the pin. Thoughts, anyone?
Wow, a wrestling match on WWE's Raw 1000.
Wait, we got wrestling on this show? What?
There was a match, yeah.
There was an actual match. It was fine. And
there's not much to it, but
yeah.
It was a match.
Well, you know, if anybody was expecting any kind of real wrestling matches to happen on a night like tonight, then they're absolutely, totally screwed. Don't know what Raw is all about, or WWE for that matter. And if you're bitching and complaining about that, let me grab my cowboy hat.
So you're talking about Alan Wojcik.
The host of KB Wrestling Radio, Tuesday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm going to be interviewing the Hot Shots tomorrow night on the program, so check in for that one. It's cool to see Mysterio and Sin Cara on the same side. That's pretty much it. Then, well, we decide to Skype on Raw with Charlie Sheen.
Oh my God. Who probably wasn't even watching the show, just saying.
Well, I think Mace might have an observation about Charlie Sheen on Skype.
That was a cute Mace.
Was I supposed to?
Well, that was just like your opportunity.
You want me to bring it? Well, I didn't really feel the need to express myself on this one because Lindsay pretty much summed it up for me.
Okay.
It's not like he was actually watching the show. He was just handed a little script of things to say at the time.
Before we continue on, we have a caller on the WTRL post show. Caller, what's your name, where are you calling from, and what's on your mind?
Hey, guys, it's Josie.
How are you? What's on your mind?
Nothing much. I just figured I'd call in and talk about Raw with you guys because I was bored enough.
Well, you got to give us your comments on what you've seen so far because we're not keeping you on the. We're going to move through callers.
Well, the one thing you haven't got to yet was one segment with AJ.
Mm-hmm.
And they were showing all the legends backstage.
Yeah, we're going to get there. What do you think?
But I have one comment. I think Mark Henry needs a DNA test.
Okay. Because
that was the palest kid I've ever seen.
Yeah, we're going to get there. But yeah, it's just going to be a general overall thought of the show.
I liked it. I mean, I thought it was funny because there was a couple moments I was like, what? Oh my gosh, they showed up? But I was kind of expecting Edge to come and I didn't see him. And I honestly didn't care if Kelly was there. I was glad to see Lita. So she could beat up Heath later, but other than that, it was pretty good. I liked it.
Okay. Anything else you would like to say?
No.
All right. Thank you for calling in.
All right. Bye, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
So, yeah, we had Charlie Sheen Skype, and he talked how he would fit in nicely with the Generation X.
Oh, my God. No.
Especially back in the heyday, especially with Waltman. I'm sure
God.
They would have had some great. They would have some great lines. Let's put it that way.
I think they still could.
Horrible.
So yeah, Charlie Sheen Skyped for the first time because remember he was supposed to be the social media ambassador.
And then quit Twitter.
And then he quit Twitter. Yeah. Then we moved to backstage. Daniel Bryan. They aired footage of Daniel Bryan asking AJ to marry him, and then, you know, we see Layla and AJ talking with one another, and, you know, she asked, you know, why are you going through with the wedding? And then, you know, she opened up the door, and then you have Jim Duggan yelling out his catchphrase, you have R-Truth and Roddy Piper.
I want to know who Jim Duggan was talking to.
I know, right? Yeah, Roddy Piper and R-Truth playing jump rope with Little Jimmy. I thought that was awesome.
And Roddy Piper insults Little Jimmy, who goes and takes off, according to R-Truth.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. And then they opened went back to the door, and then there was Mae Young and her son, the Hand.
This was
all grown up now.
This was the segment of the night. I'm sorry, just that reference was hilarious in the way that they did it. At least for me, I never laughed so hard in my life as I did at that moment. Because whoever did it was... Go ahead.
That was one of those moments that made you turn around and go, what the fuck? But at the same time, it was a segment that made you go, wow, I didn't think they would ever follow that up.
Yeah.
And to those people who I know this was brought up in chat rooms and stuff like that, those people who think Mark Henry needs to go for a paternity test, go back and watch the footage. In the original footage, the Hand is white.
Yeah.
Just saying.
He gets his size from his daddy, though. You can tell.
It's all like KFC.
So, yeah, that was the first, oh my God, they were actually creative moment of the night. So they went back to the past and, you know, brought back the Hand. And then we brought out Brodus Clay, who was going to take on Jack Swagger in that match that lasted 15 seconds. But the bigger news is Dude Love showed up.
I popped.
Tell me.
For once, it wasn't Mick Foley. It was one of his characters.
Yes. And it was Dude Love, who we rarely get, because we usually either get Mankind or Cactus Jack, but we got Dude Love with the tie-dyed sock.
That was kind of awesome.
But it works so well with Brodus, because Dude Love always used to dance, and you can't help but bop along to that music.
You can't.
it was great. Except for the fact that it's like, either Foley can't fit into any of the leftover Dude Love t-shirts, or he just never actually saved any.
Or they didn't tell him.
it was something done last minute. Actually, no, it wasn't something that was done last minute, because if you looked, he had a tie-dye socko. That's what made the bit, was the tie-dye sock.
Well, it could be that he either didn't save it, or...
Yeah.
He didn't fit.
We'll go with didn't fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Mrs. Foley's baby boy has gotten big over the years.
Retirement has been good to him. He's been eating well.
Yeah. Yeah, so Brodus Clay won his match against Jack Swagger, who they shield Sonic during his entrance.
They had a Sonic car hop at the show. That's awesome.
Am I the only one who is now feeling really sorry for Jack Swagger?
Yeah, I've been feeling that way for a while.
Dude has all the talent in the world, and yet he's reduced to being a squash jobber. Dude used to be world champion a couple of years ago.
If he could cut a promo on the microphone.
They need to get him a new manager.
Yeah. Yeah, they
do. Because sticking him with Vicky was a mistake. They should give him a new manager.
Yeah.
Slick was there. He could have done it.
We'll get to Slick.
Between ceremonies.
Yeah. Backstage, we had Triple H and Trish Stratus, of all people. She was trying to get him into yoga.
And everybody was expecting Stephanie to catch them in the middle of it.
That's a classic Raw moment.
Yep.
But instead, you had DX walk in and mock them. And then you had X-Pac put his arm around Trish, who was nervous, and I would be too.
Yeah,
X-Pac.
Yeah, X-Pac looked creepy in that segment. But come on, how many other people were thinking we want DDP to come in so Trish and DDP could talk yoga?
I did.
I would have loved to have seen DDP walk in and go, no, 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 that's not how you do it. You do it like this. They could have
had a yoga face-off.
Trish didn't look nervous. She looked disgusted. She's like, oh my God, please don't touch me. Please, for the love of God, don't touch me.
is like on her face, you could read, hey, wait a minute, weren't you in One Night in China?
No, you could just tell by her body language, because he touched her and she pulled away. Like, she kept trying to pull away from him and he kept trying to pull her closer.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Then we had, they showed Daniel Bryan and his White Tux talking to men in white scrubs.
They shrunk Kane's suit from the Kane Lita wedding and they put it on Daniel Bryan. Props.
This led to the wedding where... go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to led to the wedding where people were speculating that Daniel Bryan was going to have AJ committed halfway through the ceremony because he was men talking to the guys in the white scrubs.
Right. Jerry Lawler introduced the Reverend for the evening, Reverend Slick. Jive Soul Bro, I think that was his name. Speaking of Bro, where was Zack Ryder?
It's Raw. There's no Zack Ryder on Raw. But for those of you who don't actually know, Slick actually went on to become an ordained minister after he left wrestling. This wasn't a gimmick. This wasn't something that was brought out for a cheap pop. This was trying to add some sort of legitimacy to the whole wedding angle.
And did he get into it, or what?
He got into it.
He needed a Valium, man.
Like, go, Slick.
Liked it. I thought it was good.
He played
the crowd playing along with the whats, and he's repeating himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then AJ told him, let's move it on. Let's move it on.
He's just like, come on, keep going.
Come on, we gotta get through this. So, you know, Daniel Bryan, go ahead.
Before we got there, we had the bit of, you know, if anybody has any reason that these two should not get married, speak now or forever hold your peace. And they're looking around. They even do a shot of the entryway for a moment, expecting somebody to come down. All you hear is the crowd going, no, no, no. And Slick just looks around and he goes, there's a little bit of an objection here.
Yeah.
But then they continued, and Daniel Bryan spoke.
Listen, I know we've had our ups and downs, but I love you. I will always love you. And I promise you this, once I slip this ring on your finger and we are announced man and wife, a new chapter is going to begin for both of us. And I will finally have everything I've ever wanted. Do you, Daniel, take AJ to be your lawfully wedded wife? Yes. And do you, AJ?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, I guess that says it all. By the power vested in me by the state of...
Wait. I wasn't saying yes to Daniel.
Wait, what?
Swerve!
There's a swerve coming.
I was saying yes to someone else. Another man.
Oh.
Another man who made a proposal to me earlier tonight.
Kane, 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 Kane.
No. No.
Oh my God, what the fuck is that shit? Oh my God, they ruined the storyline. Oh my God.
Daniel, hang on. Daniel, it's not that kind of a proposal. It's a business proposal. in the interest of making Raw 1001 as great as it can be, and every week thereafter, allow me to introduce you to the new general manager of Monday Night Raw, AJ.
AJ, oh my God.
What?
This is when everybody went, what the fuck?
Huge sigh of relief all around.
Yeah. We thought it was going to be Twitter.
Yeah, I had this theory where it was going to be Twitter.
It was just a little too creepy thinking that, okay, she accepted a proposal from a guy who's like 70 years older than she is.
Actually, Cranky Vince, or the replacement for Cranky Vince, had a really great tweet to follow that up.
What was it?
I made a proposal to AJ, all right, one word, anal.
Stay tuned to Twitter for the answer.
By the way, we're getting comments in the chat room now of Harley Quinn is now running the asylum. For those of you who actually know Harley Quinn's history, when she used to be Dr. Harlene Quinzel, she technically did have a hand in running Arkham Asylum and the inmates.
She did, yeah. That's actually how she kind of becomes Harley Quinn.
Exactly. Your OTL moment of the night brought to you by iBlack.com.
Yeah, I was about to say geek moment, but okay, OTL.
Watch an episode, I think it's Batman the Animated Series, of Mad Love. Awesome.
Correct. Season 3, if I remember correctly. One of their best ever episodes, but anyway.
This segment was kind of awesome.
It followed the tradition. A wrestling wedding never pans out properly. There's always some swerve. There's always something that happens at the end to screw it over. It's just that at this time, we went from the, oh my God, what the fuck moment to, holy shit, this is fucking weird, but at the same time, I like it.
I like where they're going with this.
I really want to see where they go with this. I don't think she's going to be long-term GM, but I like that they went completely different with the GM, because we were all expecting a legend or Twitter or somebody who had done it before, and they went in a completely different direction with AJ, which is refreshing. They did something original. Oh my God.
Right, because we all thought Twitter was going to be the GM and all these different things. We never thought AJ. And the way they were downplaying it was like, okay, this is going to be, you know, Teddy Long or something.
Yeah. And as those of you who did tune into WrestleTalk Radio last night, one of my biggest peeves about wrestling these days is that they got rid of the aspect of anything can happen. They must have been listening, and Vince, email me themacing@gmail.com. I'll tell you when to send my check. Because tonight they brought surprise and the anything can happen aspect back into wrestling. And you see what happened. I've seen around, it's been mostly positive views from people of tonight's show. And it's worked. It's good.
Yeah.
It is.
Continue it next week, and we might not have to break out the other Stantler and Waldorf clip.
Yeah, we had another one May sent me too. I only pulled the one though.
I want to hear the other one.
No, we'll save for
play
next
it
week.
Off the show.
Play it after the show.
Okay.
Because anyway, the crazy chick is now running Raw. Insanity to come.
The inmates are running the asylum. Hold on, wait a minute. That sounds familiar. It sounds like another show that was on TNT on Monday nights.
Which are no longer showing on WWE on demand.
I know, and they ended it with the worst storyline.
I know, right?
By the way, just before we move on, I'd like to say, I love the fact that she was wearing Converse under the dress. One, because I called it.
She did.
And two, because it was just awesome. I was actually expecting her to wear a short dress with Converse, and she wore a long dress, but she still had the Converse, so I will accept it. And it was a nice dress.
It was amusing to see her skipping away in the wedding dress with the Converse being shown. But the I'll sort of jump the kayfabe barrier here for a moment, and as I said to you in the chat room, this was mainly due to Save the Ring, because those of you who understand how a ring is built, if you wore heels into the ring, not only would you have a hard time standing, it would also cause a lot of damage to the canvas and also other parts of the structure. So I'm guessing it was both character choice plus to save the ring, because they still had, you know, two and a bit hours to go at this point.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've only recapped up to the end of hour one by now, people.
We're like an hour and 10 minutes in at this point. Because Daniel Bryan's still in the ring throwing a fit.
Yeah.
This brought out the WWE champion, CM Punk. He said he wasn't out there to gloat, but Daniel Bryan just got stood up at the altar. He pointed out how poorly Bryan treated AJ, and then Bryan continued to throw a fit, and then screamed about how Punk is not the best in the world, rather Daniel Bryan is the greatest of all time. Plug your ears, because here comes The Rock.
Followed by a Mace rant.
Come on, Mace, get it out of the way.
No, I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to do it?
I'm going to wait until after this segment.
Okay. The Rock talked about how it was in St. Louis that he won his first WWE Championship, and that he wasn't there to talk to Frodo, but he was there to, you know, talk to the WWE Champion.
The Rock just got word at the Royal Rumble, whoever the WWE Champion is, they will go one-on-one with the Great One. And that night, they will defend their title against The Rock.
Well, that is good news for you. And you know what? That's good news for me, too, because I'll fill in the blank for you, Rocky, that whoever will be WWE Champion, you're looking at him. Tonight, I'm going to beat John Cena. And if you want a match at Royal Rumble, well, I wish the Royal Rumble was tomorrow, because I can't wait. I want to jump in head first. CM Punk versus The Rock sounds good to me, and all due respect, just like I end John Cena tonight, I'm going to beat you at the Royal Rumble.
So we have our main event set for the Royal Rumble. The Rock challenges for the WWE Championship. And this was interrupted by a no, Daniel, from Daniel Bryan, saying this was all about, supposed to be about him. This was his night. This was supposed to be the best night of his life. And he said some way, somehow, he would be fighting The Rock. Bryan then said he will not only be the champion, but he'll be the face of the WWE. The Rock then said Bryan resembles what looked like to be a homeless lumberjack. Looked like a homeless lumberjack banged an Oompa Loompa.
Oompa Loompa Loompa Dee Doo, I've got a perfect puzzle for you. Oompa Loompa Loompa Dee Dee, if you are wise, you'll listen to me.
What do you get when you guzzle down sweet?
Eating as much as an elephant eats.
What are you at getting terribly fat? What do you think will come of that?
I don't like the look of it.
Oompa Loompa Doompa Dee Da. If you're not greedy, you will go far. You will live in happiness.
No, it's enough. I'm getting a toothache.
All right, fine.
I'm sorry. I've heard that. Okay, for those of you who know my viewing habits, I started watching this show called Black Dynamite. Last night, they had a porn parody of one of those songs from the from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and it was absolutely hilarious. But it's just too many Willy Wonka references in too short of a time frame for me, man.
Okay. So, we'll start with Lindsay. Thoughts first.
I really actually liked this. I thought Brian and Punk and Rock all played off of each other really well. We didn't get a dick reference from The Rock, which was nice. And I just liked it. The only criticism of it is way too, one, forecast who's going to win that match, and two, what did Rock do to deserve this title shot again?
Beat John Cena.
He's The Rock. Oh my God, it's The Rock. It's the second coming of Jesus Christ in fucking self. He will save the WWE. He will save John Cena. He will do everything in the fucking world.
Including getting
and
to live.
The Rock. He will appear, get a big pop and a payday, and fuck off for 6 months, and then, you know, suddenly get a title shot for no fucking reason other than, oh my God, he's The Rock.
No, seriously, Mace, don't hold back. Tell us what you really think.
Feel better?
Fuck The Rock!
But at the same time, Mace, did you like the segment?
At the same time, I actually enjoyed the segment. I actually laughed, and I actually enjoyed the segment. It's like, that's just the whole thing of The Rock getting the title match at Royal Rumble, like the first illustrious pay-per-view of the new year. That pisses me off. But I actually enjoyed the segment.
What about you, Tim?
You know, I just gotta say, Mace spoke for me.
I do that often on this network. I keep speaking to people.
Yeah. No, it was, you know, it's The Rock. It's Dwayne Johnson playing The Rock. But at the same time, it was chuckle-worthy.
This then brought us to our next segment. Justin Roberts came out and introduced a special guest ring announcer for our next matchup, Lee Wan, the only one of the greatest of all time, Brett.
The best. The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be.
Brett,
get off
Hart.
His dick, Tim.
Shush.
So yes, Bret Hart was brought out. He talked about one of the greatest superstars of all time, Mr. Perfect, and how he'd be up for the IC title. He then introduced the current reigning Intercontinental Champion, Christian, and then he brought out his opponent, The Miz. So yeah, The Miz versus Christian for the Intercontinental Championship.
Should we just say this segment was brought to you by Canada?
At least 2/3 of it.
2/3 of the segment was Canadian. Yeah.
Yeah. Christian was selling a knee injury throughout the match. Miz was able to hit the skull-crushing finale and become the new WWE Intercontinental Champion, making him a Triple Crown Champion, as he's won the Intercontinental WWE Tag Team title and the WWE Championship.
And the new Intercontinental Champion of the World!
The Miz.
Thoughts? Match? Anyone?
Well, it started out really great, right, with the ring announcing, with the way that Bret introduced Miz.
Right.
Right, yeah. There. It just sold the entire match for me right there, even before it started.
But what about the actual match?
Oh, the actual match itself was good.
You guys disagree with him?
No. I thought it was... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that Christian did an extremely good job of selling a knee injury to the point where people were speculating as they went to commercial break, uh-oh.
Well, to the point where I know Lindsay and myself heard this, you could hear The Miz and Christian talking, "Can you go on?" is your knee all right? Can you go on? And Christian said, I don't know. Give me a minute. It's for those of you who actually know how to catch this type of thing, or when the stupid idiots on the cameras have the microphones turned on. Yes. But the,
all right, so that was the only detraction to the match.
Well, no, not really. It was actually not that bad, because you know, you slowly work out that, yes, Christian is selling a false knee injury, but it was a good story. They told a good story, and Miz working a body part, and, you know, actual wrestling psychology.
Oh, my God.
You know, that'd make Alan Wojcik happy that he got actual wrestling psychology on a wrestling show.
Well, come on, Mace. Let's face it. That's a bit of a pet peeve for practically everybody on the Wild Talk Radio Network for various and sundry reasons.
Yeah, but some of us can let it go easier than others.
Well, it depends on the type of the lack of psychology, if you will.
Yeah, but let's not get into this. We're trying to recap Raw here.
All right. We'll talk about that later on another show on another time.
I could take a shot, but I'm not going to. This then led to more Skyping with Mr.
Charlie.
Anchor Management himself, Charlie Sheen.
Winning,
of course. He talked about how he's a big fan of Rock.
Scripted.
And he can't wait to see him at the Royal Rumble. He then blocked the show and thought Daniel Bryan needs some anger management.
Cheap plug.
Mr. Social Media Guy. This then, well, brought out Triple H. He said he had
the fun and the games are over.
Yeah, the fun and the games are over. He wanted Brock Lesnar to come out. Instead, he got Paul Heyman, who was coming out to give the answer, and the answer was no. This then, well, Hunter was tired of that. He just wants to, you know, get at Brock Lesnar. Heyman pointed out that Hunter already has two lawsuits against him, and, well, he asked, is that truly what's best for business? Triple H questioned whether Lesnar is actually such a coward that he won't come out and answer him face to face. He questioned whether he was just a little bully. Heyman asked if Triple H was really going to result to bullying, you know, and name
calling. Be a star, Triple H, be a star!
Exactly. Then he mentioned Hunter's children and family again. Then, well, Hunter said, don't ever do that. Heyman apologized, and then he said he actually feels bad for Hunter's children. This Hunter then backed Heyman into a corner, but then they stopped, and when somebody walked out, Lindsay.
Mama showed up. And all I can say is, go, Steph, go. I have missed you.
God damn.
Fuck him up, Stephanie. Stop. Fuck him up. Fuck him up, Stephanie. Fuck him up.
All I
can really say about her, like, when she came out, fucking age has done that girl some good.
She's been working out.
Good.
She looked good.
She's finally lost a lot of that baby fat that she was carrying around, and I'm not talking about the stuff that you accrue when you're pregnant.
She said, let me tell you one thing, Heyman, you do not speak about her children ever again. Do you understand that? She said, the lawsuits are not about Lesnar, they are about Heyman's failures as a businessman with WCW, in ECW, and in WWE. She said that when it comes
to... I prefer to forget she was at one time part owner of ECW.
Yeah.
And her brother was the owner of WCW.
Yeah, we're going to forget that for now. She said that when it comes to her father, Heyman is just looking in the rearview mirror. Steph said her father at least had the guts to step in the ring with her husband, unlike Lesnar. Stephanie said Heyman's children will grow up being ashamed of him because they know their father is nothing more than a professional parasite, which then led to the bitch slap heard around the world.
Yeah, I will say at this point, How hypocritical is it of both Hunter and Stephanie that they turn around to Paul and say, our children, our family are off limits, and Paul even apologizes for it, yet they fucking rail.
Yeah.
Paul's kids. You know, and then they had the balls later to show the Be a Star campaign shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but this company is hypocritical as fuck. It's do as we say, not as we do.
Pretty much.
That's the way it's always been, though.
Heyman left the ring, came back in the ring and asked, you want it? This how bad you want it? You want to see your husband get hurt? You want to see your husband's career? You want to see him fight Brock Lesnar? You got it. It's on. Brock Lesnar and Triple H at SummerSlam. She then smiled, Heyman applauded, and said, bravo, you did it again. Daddy's little girl gets what she wants. And then, well, she launched at Heyman.
Mind you, that was good by Heyman turning around and going, damn it, I fell for it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was like watching a Bugs Bunny cartoon with Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd, and that was the moment where usually Elmer Fudd looks at the camera and his head turns into a lollipop with the word sucker written on it.
Yeah. Stephanie laid in some punches actually on Heyman. Looked really good doing it.
She pancaked the hell out of him with those slaps.
This brought out Brock Lesnar. After Stephanie beat up Heyman, this is where she should run away. Hunter got Steph out of the ring, and then the fight was on. Brock Lesnar, Triple H, they brawled for a while. Until Hunter sent him over the top rope, and they, you know, were, you know, staring at one another intensely and to win the
taking off shirts.
Yeah.
And Lesnar telling Hunter to fuck off.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but this was tipping their hand. This was... We all know now that Brock's going to beat the crap out of Triple H at SummerSlam.
Which is basically what I said in the Skype chat while we were watching it, yeah.
And I'll reiterate what I said at the time, too. The better idea would have been for Lesnar to walk down to the ring, pull Paul Heyman out, and then just walk away. Don't let them touch. Don't let them get into a fight like they did. Because the best thing you could do with an event like this that is going to be slow to build, and it's going to be hard to build because of Lesnar's limited dates.
He's booked for everything leading up, I think, just about.
Okay. Well, let's say he's not, that he's got... He's saving... He might do half the dates between now and SummerSlam. It's hard to build it in that way. The better way would have been to use them sparingly, get them in a situation where they're about to fight, and you have Lesnar bail and go, I'm going to wait to SummerSlam. Because then the crowd is going to salivate for it. By the time you get to SummerSlam, they're going to want this so badly that they're going to be throwing money at the TV going, shut up and take my money.
It should have been two shots between them, one each, and then Lesnar bailing instead of what we got. And, yeah, I'm in total full agreement with you, mates. I think that they gave away the outcome for SummerSlam.
What do you think, Lindsay?
I kind of have to agree. They gave it away a little bit. I mean, it was a nice, intense segment. It had a good flow to it, had a good feeling to it. It was a little expected that, you know, Lesnar and Hunter, you know, brawl. My only real issue with this whole thing, and I'm not an expert in the law, but it's, you know, can't Triple H technically countersue Lesnar and Heyman because, well, Lesnar broke his arm?
Technically, yes,
But
this is wrestling. Nothing ever actually gets solved in court. It gets solved in the ring.
One thing in all of Raw was ever solved in court.
Well, two things.
Okay, two things.
What's your one thing?
Eric Bischoff.
Okay, that's the one. The other was Midget Court.
Yeah.
And if I have it my way, TNA's going to solve something out in Elton Court.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, that's just what I was thinking of when Heyman was talking about the lawsuits. It's like, well, technically, Triple H got assaulted, too. So, but anyway, I thought it was a great segment. It sold the match. The fight did what it had to do, even if it tipped their hand. It got people interested in the feud. Because I know a lot of people were going, oh, God, Triple H and Brock Lesnar, no. And then at least now it's gotten people interested. And hopefully they can build it. If they don't touch any further, I think that will help it. They just have this one confrontation, and then they don't touch after that. Till SummerSlam, I think it'll be okay.
Yes. We had then a video package hyping up Stone Cold versus Mr. McMahon rivalry from the past. Had comments from Cena and The Miz, John Cena and others. This is the point where you go, okay, is it building the Stone Cold or is it building to something else? And we found out it wasn't building the Stone Cold, who probably couldn't get out of his movie commitments to be at the show this evening. So that's probably why he wasn't there.
But at least we got him. I mean, they made reference to him, and they put a nice little segment and package together for him.
Yes. They also hyped WWE 13 at this time. This then brought out Santino and Hornswoggle. They brought out the Brawling Buddies. Then we got Howard Finkel to introduce Heath Slater.
The next bout is scheduled for one fall.
I was just happy to see Howard Finkel. I won't lie.
So, Heath Slater said he's issuing his open challenge to anybody, to a no DQ, no count out, anything goes match. This brought out Lita?
This is really good televisions.
You really should have technically kept her shirt on. Because she had a little pooch hanging over.
She wasn't looking too bad.
No, she didn't look too bad. It was a little distracting. It's like, kept looking at her stomach when they were obviously trying to get you to look at her tits, and that just didn't help.
So yeah, Lita came out to accept the challenge, and then, well, she said she hired some protection. In the form of the APA.
Yay!
I
popped.
So did I. Somewhere Omega's going. Okay. Lita joke. Protection. Endless material.
I think Omega's head exploded when she started talking about protection. It was just like, oh my God, the possibilities. Boom!
The jokes, my God, the jokes.
Tune in Sunday night for Wrestle Talk Radio and we'll hear Omega talk about this awesome segment.
Or we'll be able to hear his head explode.
Either one. Tune in Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. So yes, after the APA showed up, Heath Slater bailed.
But by the way, WWE shop, why you no have APA shirts?
Mace is sad.
I want an APA t-shirt, damn it.
I want the DX shirt.
That's
available at WWEshop.com right now.
Go get
I'm
it.
Going.
Just go.
See, you can get that, but I want my APA shirt. Out of all the retro shirts they have on there, why can't they have an APA shirt?
Oh, I'm sure they'll get it out.
They damn well better. I want my APA t-shirt, damn it.
Well, you know WWE is wired, and then they're listening. They'll get them out there and ready just because you want it, Mace.
Vince, send me the shirt instead of my check for the evening.
Slater tried to leave. We hear Road Warrior Animals music hit, and then the ghosts from Slater's past showed up, including Roddy Piper, Rikishi, Doink, DDT, Vader, Sid, Bob Backlund, and Sergeant Slaughter was out there?
Yeah... He went up against Slaughter at some point, I think.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yep.
Originally, the first one, probably. I think.
I think it was on the fourth. Was it the Great American Bash?
No idea.
It might have been the Bash. I just don't remember the Bash.
He was one of the first legends. He was one of the first three, I think.
All right, we'll go with that. Lita hit the Twist of Fate on Slater, then followed by the Clothesline from Hell, and then the Moonsault for the 1, 2, 3.
Holy crap, that clothesline from JBL.
Oh my god, that was stiff.
Dude has not softened up at all.
You really expected
him? I felt that.
You expected him to?
Although that was the most awesome sell ever.
Yeah, the cell was awesome, but I don't think he meant that legitimately. I think JBL literally put him in that position.
He had no choice. When somebody hits you that hard, you're going to sell it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I hope I can sell it. The hell with it. Ow!
So, yes, Lita beat C. Slater for the 1-2-3. All the legends celebrate all around. And then, well, we got simply...
Damn!
One word.
That's all you need. One word.
Damn.
Damn. So, yeah. Lita wins. Woohoo! Nice finish to the whole angle. Any comments?
Less that Lita was in this, we got the APA, we got the parade of legends out in one fell swoop.
Yep,
I was happy.
Go ahead.
I was just happy to get the APA. Honestly, I was really hoping that they were gonna have Farouk and Bradshaw together one more time, and it's like, yes, there they are. One of my favorite tag teams of all time. Just saying.
Then we had Sean Mooney show up out of nowhere interviewing Daniel Bryan, who complained about Charlie Sheen, said she needs life management, and said if Sheen were standing right there, he would slap the yes lock on him faster than he could say winning.
Goat face.
Alright, we did get Zack Ryder. Oops, forgot about that.
Yeah, we did.
Backstage, Zack Ryder, I'm skipping over, you know, the 1 millionth follower on social media. We'll skip over that.
100 million followers, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Backstage, Zack Ryder told John Cena that Gene Okerlund was the one behind GTV. Huh?
Gene TV?
What?
Gene GTV, get it?
Are you serious, bro?
Could do without.
According to Vince Russo, Tom Green was supposed to be behind GTV at one point, but Vince didn't know who Tom Green was.
I just facepalmed.
Yeah. Oh. Cena's face turned serious, and then we saw The Rock and John Cena. Rock said he was there to do what he did for Punk by wishing Cena good luck. Cena brought up The Rock wrestling at Royal Rumble and said he was cashing in his Money in the Bank match, the contract tonight, and he would be facing The Rock at the Rumble. Rock said he couldn't even tell him how much he's looking forward to that.
Don't do it, WWE. Don't do it.
We're going to get there in a minute. But next, this is where Lindsay went. Squee!
No. This is where Lindsay yelled loud enough that she woke the upstairs and downstairs neighbors.
Yes, because Lindsay was excited to see Jinder Mahal's entrance tonight. Just pointing that out.
That coat is so pretty. I want it.
I don't believe that for a second. I think you guys are kayfabing it.
I kayfabe you? Never.
Anyway.
Bullshit.
Kane came out. He was on the verge to do his pyro bit, and then Jinder Mahal came out. Led with Kurt Hawkins, Tyler Rex, Drew McIntyre, Hunico, and Camacho. Mahal said they haven't been given a chance, so they were going to, you know, get their opportunity right now. So they surround the ring, waiting to attack Kane, but then you hear one thing.
B.O.D.
We had the Undertaker slowly walk to the ring with the, for the reunion of the Brothers of Destruction.
That was it was good. I have to say that was really nice of everybody who was planning to kill Kane to wait for the Undertaker to get to the ring.
Took about 3 minutes, but he got there. Shaved head and all.
Oh, God.
Hashtag Hairgate, trending worldwide.
And the hood fail. The hood fail, don't forget that.
Yeah, that too. They beat the crap out of these six guys. Chokeslam to Hunico and Hawkins. And then we got double tombstones. They're standing there waiting to do their pose, and Taker goes over and says, "Get the fuck out of my ring," so they can do their pose as the fans chant it. This is awesome.
Did he really say that?
No, but you could just, you know. By
you
the
read
look.
And the look on his face.
By the look on his face as he tried to get him out of the ring. He wanted him to get the fuck out of his ring.
Yeah, the Shawn Michaels moment.
Yeah. So, that was kind of awesome.
Two people are wondering what the hell I meant.
We're moving on from whatever you're saying, Tim.
Just saying. Mumbling.
WrestleMania 12. Just remember it. Just talk, Lindsay.
Like I said, when that gong hit, I screamed so loud I woke the neighbors, and I was in a state of bliss up until that hood came off and I saw how awful the hair had gotten. I thought it was bad at WrestleMania. It got worse. If WWE is in fact listening to us, would somebody please nicely tell The Undertaker that haircut looks really, really bad on him and to please fucking grow his hair back? Please.
No, you can tell him.
I would be terrified to tell him. Partially because he could break me in half with one hand. He's, what, 6'8", 6'9", I'm 5'2"?
He's around 6'10", 300 pounds.
Yeah, I'm not any of that at all. He could step on me and squash me. So yeah, the hair was awful. Him trying to flip the hood off without his hands was awful since it stuck to the sides of his head. But the moment was absolutely epically awesome, and I wanted it to be longer. I really did.
Mace, you've been quiet.
This was Lindsay's segment.
Okay, but I'm just saying, it's your turn to talk.
I waited all night for this segment, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I pretty much went quiet even during the show at this point, because it was like, it was Lindsay's segment, I'm not going to... Not gonna do anything. Not gonna say anything. It's all hers.
You can say something. If you didn't like it, I don't care.
Oh, I had no problem with it. We got double choke slams and double tombstones. I'm happy.
Effective way they use the Undertaker.
Yep. Mind you, our good friend Amy Lee from WSU did tweet out that she was expecting Taker and Kane to do a dance number, which I thought was hilarious.
Awesome. I wanted a hug, but pose works. It was
funny as hell to see them break into the Hustle or something.
I could picture Kane doing that. Anyway, think back to 2002 when he was imitating Hulk Hogan. You'll realize.
I reckon Kane could probably pull off some pretty sweet dance moves.
One word. Kane Rooney.
You can dig that sucker.
All the Canaanites would cheer.
We then returned to Skyping with Charlie Sheen.
At this point, I was over it.
He said he would be happy to get into the ring with him anytime he's near Los Angeles. This poses a question. Daniel Bryan versus Charlie Sheen at SummerSlam?
Oh God, I hope not. I really hope not.
It's coming. I don't think it's going to be a match. I just think Daniel Bryan is going to have a promo with Charlie Sheen.
Boo. Do not want.
At this point in time, it's time for your main event of the evening. It's 11 o'clock. CM Punk versus John Cena for the WWE Championship.
Finally, Punk gets the main event, a show.
Shocking.
Shock. Oh, surprising. This was the 153rd time the WWE Championship had been defended on Monday Night Raw. And Cole said that Punk can tie Hulk Hogan and Bret Hart with the 16th longest reign in WWE Championship history if he's champion tomorrow. We got a little, you know, it was a basic match, nothing special. Cena hit the attitude adjustment on Punk, but the referee was knocked out. This brought out the Big Show, who speared and then knocked out John Cena. Then you had CM Punk conflicted on what to do. Should he get the referee back in? Should he tell the referee? What should he do? He eventually covered John Cena for the 1-2 kick out. He was ready to put him to sleep. Cena reversed it into the STF. Show re-entered and attacked Cena for the DQ. So at this point, John Cena is the first person to lose his Money in the Bank opportunity.
Yes, he loses the opportunity, even though he didn't technically lose the match, because CM Punk would be the one disqualified.
Correct. Show will continue.
Which I'm quite sure they'll bring that into dispute and try and find some way to go, no, John Cena doesn't count.
No. No, John Cena lost.
Yeah.
Show continued to beat up on John Cena after the bell while Punk sat in the corner without helping. This brought out The Rock to save John Cena. What? What? The Rock helping John Cena? No way. He went after the Big Show, laid him out.
You mean Jesus Christ himself?
Yes, showed up.
Had to come out and fucking help and take the spotlight at the main event of a headlining show?
No.
What a shock!
What a shocker there. Spinebuster and Big Show. Time for the most electrifying move in all of sports entertainment, the People's Elbow. Punk then came in the ring and attacked The Rock with a clothesline. The crowd
Do it again.
The crowd boos CM Punk at this point. He looked at his hands and looked down The Rock and then set him up for the GTS. Some cheers, mostly boos. CM Punk stood in the ring with a serious look on his face, grabbed his championship, walked past Cena in one corner, The Rock laid out in the middle, and he left.
Summer of Punk 2.0, people.
I mentioned this last night on Wrestle Talk Radio. CM Punk heel turn. Ta-da! Thoughts?
Yeah, as much as I'm happy with CM Punk turning heel, all it is we need a heel to go up against Cena and The Rock. Because, God forbid, and I said this last night, God forbid we ever do a match where it's done out of mutual respect and just genuine sportsmanship between two top competitors. Someone's always got to be the diabolical evil heel against the triumphant Superman face. Because God forbid that we ever do something where one of the guys makes the challenge and you go, you know what, I respect you enough to accept it.
Because that's not how they work.
I know. And it pisses me off because then you get unneeded fucking heel turns.
That being said, I think this will work for Punk.
I don't see it being a 100% full heel turn.
It will be a full heel turn come SummerSlam, Tim.
Yeah. And that's okay. They need a top heel. Because looking at them, I'd rather have Punk as the top heel than Big Show.
Yeah, at least if you're going to turn somebody, Punk's a good choice.
And this continues him to be the top guy in the company.
Thank God.
He's now the top heel. He's not below Cena. He's now on par with John Cena.
For now.
For now.
Yeah, for now.
For now. But that's okay. We were. What did you say last week, Mace, at the end of the show? Who was walking out WWE champion?
Cena.
Cena didn't walk out champion.
Yeah, that I'm quite happy for. Believe me, I am quite happy that we don't have Cena walking out the WWE champion. I am quite happy with that. But why they needed to do a heel turn in order to have that happen, not happy.
Yeah, I think most of us are pretty damn pleased with that outcome.
Yeah, it was really the only thing they could do and still have everything work. Because it's like, you know, either Punk goes over clean or Cena goes over clean. Well, how about just some shenanigans and we throw a Big Show in there? And so you have John Cena technically not lose, so you could argue that the Money in the Bank record is still intact, but he doesn't get the title.
Well, that was, you can't claim that because he didn't win the title. It's everyone's cash in to win the title.
Yeah, no, if you look at websites all over the place, including PW Mania, which is currently streaming us live at the same time we're on Wild Talk Radio Network, they, you know, these websites are saying that Cena has made WWE history yet once again by not successfully cashing in the Money in the Bank.
This is a very good point. Overall opinions on this show. We'll start with Lindsay.
I liked it. Overall, it didn't feel like 3 hours. It had a really nice flow. It moved well. There wasn't too much lag in it. There was a lot that went into this show, and you can tell they had a lot of shit happen in 3 hours.
Sorry to interject, Lindsay. I was just going to say it bugs me that I've got a head full of Alan Wojcik's voice talking like it was it had a good beat, you could dance to it, and he was giving it an 85 just from your description.
Well, you could say that. I mean, I'd give it a B, but I liked it overall. My only real issue with it, and I understand why they could not do it, was that it was very disjointed, and they did things that I wanted to see more of later in the night, like AJ being named GM. I wanted to see them do more with that later in the night. You know, I could have done less with Charlie Sheen and more storylines being pushed. But for what they did and the fact of all the legends that were there, all the people that showed up, and just the nostalgia factor, I liked it. Now my worry is next week, because short of Punk doing what he did at the end of the show and AJ being named GM, they really didn't do much to make you want to watch next Monday. It's kind of like, okay, this is great, this is awesome, you know, they definitely delivered on some of the hype, but what do you do next week?
That's the question. Mace, overall opinions on the show as a whole?
Well, as we played the Stantler and Waldorf clip at the start of the night, we all went into this with, boo, we're going to hate it, oh, it's going to be horrible, it better live up to all the hype. And as the show went on, it was, everybody was just going, I'm liking this. This
hey,
is
this
good. I like it. This is great. Suck. More. It definitely made the 3.5 hours that we've had to sit through Raw tonight go extremely quick. And that's something you definitely want with these now 3-hour shows, is you want them to go by quick. You don't want people to realize that they've been sitting in front of the television for 3 hours. And if they can deliver us more of that, you know, good on them. You know, with little nitpicks aside, you know, CM Punk's heel turn, The Rock getting a title shot for no fucking reason besides he's a goddamn fucking Rock! Calm down.
Relax.
Yeah,
have a Vegemite sandwich. Take it easy.
Fuck off, I don't eat Vegemite. Other than that, this was like a seriously really well done show. This, I give this an A, and it's been a long time since Raw's even gotten past a C for me.
What would you grade it, Tim?
You know, I watched tonight, and it was right near the end where I typed it into chat that this just didn't feel like we've been sitting through over 2 hours of Raw already. And, you know, Lindsay agreed with me on that one. The flow was perfect. That's, you know, the perfect word. It flowed. And this brought me back to the height, the heyday of Raw from, like, 1999 to 2002. It felt like that, where you didn't know what was going to happen from minute to minute, and you were glued to the broadcast.
Read the chat, Tim.
B plus.
B plus, you give it?
B plus.
Okay.
Why did you have to, like, interrupt me and make me read that when I was, like, leading up to it by giving my synopsis?
Because you interrupt everyone else.
Because I was what?
You interrupt everyone else.
Oh, so you figured you should interrupt me. Fuck you.
Yes, of course. I'll always interrupt you.
Oh, well, yeah, like you never do before, right?
Never, ever.
Fuck!
What was that?
Dance called.
So, yeah, I give it an A. Third hour, you kind of saw them dragging it out a little bit. It was dragged out a little. They added more video packages. And they didn't overdo talent, which was good, thankfully. I know Mace doesn't like the touting already, but it wasn't too bad.
It was exactly what we would said it was going to be. Idiots going, WWE! That's all it was. It was just... Ugh.
But
it annoys me already.
But
it's only been one night.
But they didn't overdo it.
Why couldn't they have shown some of the stuff that the superstars were putting out? William Regal put out a nice little 15-second promo about AJ being the GM.
Yes.
With Daniel Bryan coming in at the end that makes you go, well, what happens next?
Yeah.
Why couldn't they have shown that on the show instead of people going, yay, AJ wedding!
So yeah, I give it an A. Really good show. Next week will be the challenge. But, you know, we'll be here to talk all about it live right here on WildTalkRadio.com and PWMania.com. This is where we plug things, and I'm going to let Tim plug everything now.
Me? Plug stuff? What are you talking about? I don't know how to plug stuff. Like, tomorrow night, make sure you join us right here at the exact same place for another edition of Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alamogic. And I do believe that, Mace, you're on that show, too, as one of his backing vocalists.
Way in the background.
Way back there.
I'm like the drummer. I'm right up the back, you know, making sure that the beat goes on, but, you know, I never really get acknowledged.
Yeah, there you go. And, of course, Alan has some absolutely stellar interviews that he conducts every single week with stars of the world of professional wrestling. Tomorrow night, Rock, who's he got?
Well, I'll let Lindsay tell you.
He's got the Hot Shots, Cassidy Riley and Chase Stevens, formerly of TNA Wrestling.
There you go, and that's on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio at what time? That's right, 9 o'clock Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and of course, simulcast on PWMania.com.
Okay, that's one night. What's on Wednesday night, Tim?
Oh, it's just another goddamn wrestling show that you don't want to really talk about too much because they're blasphemous, these guys.
Yeah, so just another goddamn wrestling show. Brian Brawley, Jed Schaefer, and the Cheap Wood paneling. They discuss the news and other things in pro wrestling.
Yeah, if you've never checked it out before, give it a chance, guys. It's a great show. They're highly entertaining, and definitely they have their moments. Thursday night, Lindsay, you do a show called The Rack. Why is it called The Rack again?
Well, because one, I've got huge tits, but two, because we talk all about...
Whoa, what did you just say?
I have huge tits. I'm the girl on the network.
So you're saying that you're a big boobed babe that talks professional wrestling on Thursday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
11 o'clock Eastern.
11 o'clock Eastern. Are you going to cover TNA?
We do. We cover TNA. We cover WWE. And in fact, this Thursday night, we've got Eric Young of TNA Wrestling on our show. We're going to interview him all about his brand new show on Animal Planet. Can't wait. Very exciting stuff. Y'all should tune in.
Yeah, that's right. EY on the rack with your host, Lindsay Ward, and, of course, The Rock will back her up on that one. Thursday night, 11 o'clock Eastern, wildtalkradio.com, simulcast on pwmania.com. And, of course, Friday night, you never know, I might step into the DJ booth, spin some tunes, take some phone calls, and just have a great old time.
Okay.
It's fun. We call it Random DJ Nights right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Then Saturday, Tim, what do we do Saturday?
Oh, my God. Saturday, we round up the delinquents and let them run the asylum, a little thing they have called CB radio. No, it's not talking Citizens Band radio from the 70s where you talk about Kodaks with the Kojaks and all this other shit and whatever, keep the shiny side up and the grease of the night down. No! Cigarette butts and bandanas around midnight or so, you know, as close as they can get to it, anyway. And it's wild, it's wacky. You got prank phone calls to Kentucky Fried Chicken on the West Coast. You've got people running into 7-Eleven and taking their pants off while they order up a Big Gulp or whatever. It's just really weird, wild, and out there.
Yeah, weird, wacky, unusual. It's CB Radio, you never know what we'll talk about. We can talk about pro wrestling. We can talk music. We can talk movies. We talk anything you ever want to talk about. It's an open forum. It's a late-night program. Check it out. Midnight and Saturday night live right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Do you ever cover pornography?
We do. We covered sex dolls with animals and stuff a few weeks ago.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay. Well, that just really kind of sort of ruins My Little Pony for all the kids.
Hey, Omega brought up sheep. Just saying.
He brought up sheep.
He brought up the sheep, and everything went downhill from there.
Okay, so what happened to that thing that was on eBay that he found that one time that sold for like $800? What was that?
That was a special little pony. We'll just leave it at that.
A special little pony. Ask Kane Kittens in the chat room. He's doctored that picture, as a matter of fact. And I think that Omega will never, ever forgive him.
No. But,
And, of course, Sunday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Time, another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, simulcast once again on PW Mania. Now, guys, a lot of you are tuned in for the very first time. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Thank you very much for checking us out and giving us a chance. I hope that you stick with us and check out other programming. Wrestle Talk Radio has been around since 2004, and I have been the host since then. I'm the creator. Before that, I was doing a little thing called Voice of Wrestling. I created that little thing, too. So I've been talking wrestling for over 10 years on the Internet here. And in addition to that, I'm not just somebody who watches wrestling and talks about it. I happen to be a promoter. I own an independent wrestling promotion called Canadian All Pro Wrestling here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. So you're going to get the inside scoop, not just another fan talking about what he thinks should happen. Okay, you're going to get a promoter's take, somebody who books shows. In addition, you're going to get somebody who has wrestled in the ring, somebody who knows what he's talking about, because Mace, you're the co-host of Wrestle Talk Radio.
I would like to think so, but I think I'm that guy that shows up and talks funny and makes racist comments.
The fucking foreign kid.
The original fucking foreign kid. And he.
That's right. The original fucking
foreign
kid.
Yes, I've been floating around the interwebs and calling in and harassing wrestling radio shows for the better part of the last 8-plus years. I also have about 5 years in ring experience down here in Australia via various independent promotions. I have also interviewed some of the best and the greatest wrestlers of all time, thanks to my time on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. I have also railed out promoters, as I did with Wrestlelicious once upon a time. That was fun.
Oh, that was
and
very
And I also take
pot
shots at Tim every chance I get, because he's an old bastard and I hate his
there, there it is. Get off my lawn, you prick.
Yes, so join the originator, Wrestle Talk Radio, with the OLDONE, the one and only Tim
Stein. Take your, you are a dead man. I'm making you drink stuff now. That's it. I'm sending you a bottle and making your brother sit on you until you finish it. That's all there is to it. I'm sure save a lot of people.
Another dollar, save another dollar.
Another dollar.
Another dollar.
I'm not Jewish.
It is a Jew.
So you can expect all that and more. It's comedy, it's wrestling, it's Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern or after every WWE and TNA pay per view. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of the Raw Post Show. You can also.
And you also got to remember, if you want more wrestling and comedy, then by all means come over to WrestleTalkRadio.com, where we have this nice little area linked up there called WTR Riffs. We go through wrestling history and put a comedic spin on it. Think Are You Serious? But just with longer episodes and actual matches.
My God, you guys drink some really wacky Kool-Aid before you put those things together.
We do. It's wildtalkradio.com/WTR Riffs. There's a banner rotating on the top of the website right now. And it's wildtalkradio.com. Mace? Wild Talk Radio? Not Russell Talk Radio?
Wild Talk Radio.
Whatever!
Even though if you go there, it still takes us there.
Look, can we finish the show? We've been plugging stuff longer than Raw was on.
Okay.
Yeah, we might as well get out of here. That old man in Australia has to go take a nap now.
You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Like us there. You can stay up to date on all the programming. You can follow Lindsay at Lynn's Ward and check out her artwork at lynnsward.deviantart.com. Check out CanadianAllPro.com, WGRProductions.net, at The Mace Thing, at CanadianAllPro. Don't forget, we're here tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, live right here on WildTalkRadio.com and PWMedia.com. So for everybody here, for Tim Stein, for Lindsay, and Mace, Sorokin, we'll see you next time for another edition of The Raw Post Show here on WildTalkRadio.com, presented by iBlack.com.
Now, if you like to be, take a lesson from human feet, and that teaches you chick, chicky boom, chick, chicky boom, chick, chicky boom.
He's a really modest guy, although he's the hottest guy in Havana, in Havana.
Chick, senorita, I know that you would like a chicky boom chick. It's very nice. So, but I'm fine.
Well, I'll place my hand on your hip, and if you will just give me your hand.
That we shall try, just you and I.
If you like me, take a little bit of human feet.
And I'll teach you to chick, chicky boom, chick, chicky boom, chick, chicky boom. I'm gonna stop you.